So I want to preach this morning, and this I want to start. I'm going to go back 20 odd years, actually. It was the late 90s. I just preached a sermon on a Sunday morning in Tatura at the Victory Hall. And a lady comes out the front for prayer. And she said, "I've got carpal tunnel and I need you to pray with me." So no worries. So she held out her hands and we prayed together. And I saw her not long after that and she said, "My carpal tunnel is completely gone. I'm completely healed." And I bump into her from time to time because she still lives around here. Years and years and years, 20 years later, never had it back. Totally healed. And I'm thinking, how awesome is God? And on the flip side, I'm suffering from the same thing. Praying and praying and praying. Still got it. So I get to the point. Recently, I found out you can actually get a little operation and get it fixed. So I booked in for that. And in the process of doing that, I thought, isn't it amazing how sometimes God does a miracle and heals someone, but other times he if we could have that picture, thanks, Patrick, he heals us in other ways, doesn't he? And so whether you get healed instantly or whether you get healed through the blessing of the medical fraternity, God's a healing God, and he works in many different ways. And so I had my operation a couple of weeks ago, and it's going well. I get the stitches out, so in another week or so, I should be back on deck. But in the process of that, something else happened that I wanted to share with you, which is what my sermon is about today. It's about 3 years ago. I was sitting in bed one night, And my heart was starting to beat out of my chest. And like the good husband and the talkative husband I am, I said nothing about it for a couple of days. Because during the day, you wouldn't even notice it. You wouldn't even think about it. And then you get in bed at night and everything's quiet and you're still. So I said to Melissa one night about 10 o'clock, "Oh, my heart's really racing. It doesn't feel so good." So we went up to emergency and got checked out and everything, and they sent me to a specialist. And anyway, it turned out I had an irregular heartbeat. And they put me through a stress test and all this stuff. And in the end, he said, "It's not dangerous, just learn to live with it." So once you know that something's not going to kill you, you relax. So you just go through life and it's there, and every night, it boom, 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 boom. Every time I look into Melissa's eyes, boom, 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 boom. And I just forgot about it. The other day when I was having an ECG in preparation for this, the doctor said to me, he said, "You're really fit, aren't you?" He said, "Do you bike ride?" I said, "Oh, I went on a tandem bike ride 6 months ago." He said, "Do you run?" "Oh, to the fridge and back." He said, "You're really fit." I don't know why. And I said, "No, I'm all good." I said, "The only thing I've got is this irregular heartbeat." And he said, "No, you don't. It's gone." So the miraculous thing about this is that God can heal you miraculously, and sometimes you don't even know it. Who knows? I could have been in a meeting one day just worshipping God and all of a sudden it's gone. I didn't even know. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the heart. Melissa asked me, "Are you preaching on, what are you preaching on this week?" I said, "Oh, I'm not sure yet." She said, "You should preach on Proverbs 31 because that's what I feel like. I feel like the Proverbs 31 woman looking after you all this week." So if you want to know what the Proverbs 31 woman's like, just have a chat to Melissa. She's been amazing. Thank you, dear. So today we are going to look at this topic of the heart. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you just work in so many incredible ways. And Lord, we can never put you in a box. There's times where your power will just go bang and there's an instant miracle. There's other times where we go through a process of things, and there's times even just like I mentioned where you do a work and we may not even realize it, but you're constantly working on our hearts. And Lord, we just pray this morning that every heart would be open to receive what you want to download to us today, that you want to speak into us today. Lord, that there would be healing, that there would be change, that there would be, Lord, heart surgery. Whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit, we are open and we pray that you would move by your power in an incredible way. Amen. Amen. So, when you look at the heart, the human heart, it's an incredible organ. You look at that picture there and there's all sorts of names that I can't even pronounce. You know, what's the trixapade valve? What is it? So the heart is this incredible organ. It's on the left side, right? Good, yeah. This incredible organ in our body. And we may look at that and not understand everything of how it works. But when I look at that, I look at that and I think, how can anybody look at that and think that there is no God? Do you realize how incredibly intricate you are? That before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you. That he formed you. He created you. And this human heart that beats in you was created by the creator of the universe. You didn't come from a blob. You didn't evolve and develop into something that was an ape and now a human. You were created by the creator of the universe. And when you look at that, I'm just totally amazed. Now, the heart is the chief organ of physical life because what it does is it pumps blood around your body. But it can also stand for a man's entire mental and moral activity. And we're going to turn to the Bible in just a moment. But the Bible often refers to the heart. And it's not just talking about this organ that pumps blood around. It's talking about the very core of who you are as a human being. So we're going to go to the Word and we're going to look at a few scriptures this morning. The heart is mentioned in the NIV Bible 725 times, but I'm going to skip a few of those, narrow it down a little bit. And we're going to start from the beginning in Genesis chapter 6. So this is just before Noah, just before the flood. And this was the state of the earth and the human heart. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. You look at the condition of the human heart, and we know that we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. So when the Bible refers to the heart, it's basically talking about it's sort of like this melting pot where everything comes together. It's your soul, it's your thoughts, it's your wisdom, it's your intellect, it's your emotions, it's like where the spirit comes and it's like this very core of a person where everything comes together. And the Bible doesn't refer to your brain, doesn't refer to this or that, it refers to your heart. And the thoughts of mankind, every inclination was evil. And yet the heart of God was grieved. See, God has feelings. God has emotions. God, because we were made in his image. And when we go through things, and God goes through things too. Only he's got to grieve over, 7 billion, 8 billion people. So man's heart was in a bad way. And God's heart was totally grieved. And we know from there was the flood and Noah and the rebuilding and so on. Now, if we go to Matthew 15, we're in the New Testament now, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, "But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." So we now go forward about 4,000 years into the time of Jesus, when the Son of God was walking the earth. And basically, most of man's kind heart was in the same condition. He was addressing this issue of rituals, and people were doing ceremonial washing, and you know, they had to wash their hands and they had to wash this and they had to wash that and to make sure everything was clean. But he attacked this thing and he said, "Well, that doesn't make you clean on the inside. The things that come out of the mouth, see, there's life and death are in the power of the tongue. So what we speak is powerful. It can either build up or it can tear down. There's life in and death in the power of the tongue. But that, before it gets to the tongue, it comes out of the heart." And that's the issue that he wanted to address. Just being very vulnerable this morning. Speaking of undressed, if you'd like to talk to someone about the human body, if you just go to the office after the service this morning, and a professor out there will be able to help you. So if you didn't see him coming in, just go and have a chat with him afterwards. Right, so he's addressing this issue. And there's nothing wrong with hygiene, believe me. We have a culture here of hygiene. If you go to the toilet, please wash your hands with soap before you come out and shake everyone's hand. All right, there's nothing wrong with hygiene. Right? But hygiene doesn't make you clean on the inside. What you allow to come in is what makes you clean or unclean. And that's the issue that Jesus was addressing. Our next scripture in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Because what we do in our own human strength cannot clean your act up. You know, I've heard of people, well, when I become a better person, I'll come to Jesus. Or when I get this stuff out of my life. Forget it. You can't clean yourself up. That's why this scripture is so powerful. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Amen? It's all about the heart. And when your heart gets to a point where you realize how depraved you are, where you realize that the sinful nature that controls you and you can't change it, that you walk in sin, you walk in shame, and you get to a point in your life where you think, I can't do this anymore. And then you call on the one that can change your heart, and you believe and confess, and he comes in and he changes your heart. For it is with your heart, all this stuff that comes together in your very core of your being, it's with your heart. When the Spirit of God comes in and touches your heart, then your heart becomes alive to him. Amen? And everything changes. And if you're here today, I hope you've already done that. If you haven't already done that, then we're going to have time at the end of the service where you can do that. Your heart can be changed. Amen? All right, Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The Holy Spirit said to me, there's at least one man and there's at least one woman here this morning. And right now, your heart is a heart of stone. It's like there's just numbness. It's just dead. You don't feel anything. It's a heart of stone. Well, I've got some good news for you today. That despite how you feel, despite the state of your heart, despite where you're at today, that there is a God who can take away that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh so that you can feel again, so that you can be open to His Spirit. You may be saved, you may be unsaved, but there's people here this morning and you just feel like your heart is a heart of stone. It's just like you don't feel anything. It's dead. Spiritually, you're dead. And the Holy Spirit has said there's at least two people here today that God, He wants to perform open heart surgery on you. And He wants to take out this heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. But the key is you. Are you willing? Are you open? Do you believe that He can do that this morning? Because if you don't believe it, you'll walk out the same. You can walk out totally different with a new heart this morning. Just open up your heart to Him. He wants to do a work in your heart today. I came across this song written by Paul Simon. And this is for some other people here today. You ever heard that song? I'm a rock. I'm an island. Simon and Garfunkel. This is just some of the lyrics. It says, I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. I am a rock. I'm an island. So this is a ballad about a person that has obviously been hurt. And they've decided that they're just going to withdraw from life, that they are going to be a rock, they're going to be an island, and they're not going to let anybody in. And they've built this fortress round about them. Don't talk of love, but I've heard the words before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I'm a rock. I'm an island. And when you put your heart out there and you love and maybe it's rejected or you get hurt and it didn't end well, then that's what's happened. And the walls have gone up, withdrawn. Fortress, you can't touch me. If I don't love, I can't get hurt. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I'm shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock. I am an island, and a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. There's some people here this morning, and that's what's happened to your heart. You've been hurt, something has happened, and it's like you've withdrawn and you've put this protection around about yourself. If I don't love, if I don't get close to people, if I don't open up and be vulnerable, then I can't get hurt. But what sort of a life is that? I want to encourage you that you are not a rock. Jesus is the rock. And when you give your life to Him, and if you have and you're at this point in your walk, then I encourage you. That's when you've got to learn. I can't afford to take offense. I can't afford to be hurt and stay there. As hard as it may be, you need to forgive and you need to work through and you need to move on because He is your rock. And when you give it over to Him, He can lift that from you and He can cause your heart to be free again and to love and to cry. And it may get hurt along the way, but hey, that's life. Amen. In Mark 12, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Isn't it interesting? The greatest commandment that Jesus gave us was to love the Lord your God with all of your what? Your heart. There's so many things that He could have said. He could have said with all your soul, with all your being, with all your mind and all these other things. And He mentions a few of those. But the first thing He mentions is with all of your heart. Once again, this is the central core, the central thing where everything comes together. This is you. This is the real you, your heart. And what you need to do is to follow Jesus. Sure, you say a prayer and you make a commitment, and then there's this journey as you grow and discipleship and everything. But it's talking about loving God with all of your heart. That's with everything that you have. It's not just 90 minutes on a Sunday. It's not just here or there. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment. It's who you are. In Hebrews, it says that for the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing the soul of the and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. You want to know where your heart is really at? Just read the Word of God and allow the Word of God to penetrate and the Holy Spirit. Because when you read truth and hear truth, it actually gives you a real good indicator of where your heart is at, of what needs to change as the words jump out off the page, or the Spirit of God just puts his finger on something in your life. And when we keep open to that on a daily basis, it's like your heart really has trouble growing cold and being hard when you're open to that every day. Open to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God. Just, God, if there's anything within me, anything in my heart that shouldn't be there, any sin, any wrong attitudes, any things that I should have done, that I should have done, just change my heart. And when you keep open like that, man, it's a good way to live. 1 Kings. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom that God had put in his heart. You see, when your heart is devoted to God, it's incredible what he can do. When we were at our state conference a few weeks ago, there was a speaker that they brought over from the States called Alfredo de Jesus. Choco was his nickname. And he began to share his testimony. And, you know, he was the sort of guy that brought up in obscurity, big family, you know, should have really been dead or in jail, like a lot of his family. He ended up being on the cover of Time magazine as one of the most influential people. Incredible story, incredible testimony. And the fact is that he was a nobody, but he opened his heart. And look what God did with him. And you could be sitting here today thinking, I'm a nobody. What could God ever do with me? How could he ever use me? But I tell you what, if you open up your heart, he uses nobodies. Because the people with all the credentials, with all the elegance, with all the charisma, often they're the ones that crash and burn. But it's the person that is reluctant and said, well, God, I've got nothing to give, but if you can use me, use me. They're the ones that he usually takes to do something amazing and awesome, because it's about him and his wisdom and what he puts in your heart, not what we think we have from a human perspective from our hearts. And in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, I learned a long time ago that if you want to line your will up with the will of God, that's when he gives you the desires of your heart. It's not, what are my desires? What would I like? A big house, $1 million, drive a Mercedes? No, that's not what we're talking about. When your desires match up with his, because he puts his desires in your heart, that's when he comes and those desires come to pass. Amen? Proverbs. Great book, eh, Daniel? There's a warning. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So this heart that we have, this figurative heart, this core being of who we are, as we go through our day, everything that we see, everything that we read, everything that we watch, everything that we listen to comes in to this heart. Now, we know that we have a physical heart, so what we eat and the exercise and all those things that we do affect our physical heart and make us healthy. Well, now with this figurative spiritual heart that is the core of us, that is even more important than our natural heart, is everything that you allow, and that's why you've got to have a filter. That's why you've got to have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and your values and your opinions and your beliefs are formed out of that. Because if you don't have a filter, it's like everything can just come in like a flood. So I just want to encourage you, guard your heart. Put a guard on your heart. Put a guard on your ears. Put a guard on your eyes. Put a guard on your mind. Because when you watch stuff and listen to stuff and these things that you know are not good for you, but you choose not to filter out, that's when it can come in and the seeds can come in and take root. And the enemy just loves to get a little foothold in your life. I want to encourage you, if you're watching movies that you shouldn't be watching, it's like you get to that scene and it's like your heart's just sort of, oh, this isn't good. I shouldn't really be watching that. Turn it off. It's easily fixed. Turn it off. You know, I heard a story of this famous preacher one day. He's at this massive youth conference and he was very open and vulnerable. He talked about how he went into this movie with his wife, and as the movie started to get worse and worse and worse, they got up and they walked out. I thought, good on you. But you know what? You can actually get an app on your phone where you can know everything that's in that movie before you even go walk into the cinema, before you even hire it, before you even watch it on your TV. And you look at it and you think, oh, it's full of swearing, I won't even bother. That's about guarding what comes in, what you see, what you listen to. If you're listening to music and it's having a detrimental effect on you, I was at the age of 18 and I had all this music and all these albums that I listened to, and I actually felt myself getting really, really angry. And it's like I had this understanding, this revelation, and I just got rid of it all and I started to listen to Christian music. It just changed me. It changed me. The things that you read, the things that you watch, the things that you listen to. So you've got to put a guard on your heart, because the enemy, he wants to take you out. And it could be as subtle as through these things that, oh, yeah, it's okay. It's not really that bad. If it's borderline, get rid of it. If it's not uplifting you, get rid of it. Don't watch it anymore. Don't listen to it anymore. Replace it with something that is going to uplift you and change your heart. Amen? All right. Because this is an example of what happens when you don't do that. In 1 Kings, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. Because all of a sudden, my standard was here. And then, you know, influence. With Solomon, it was his wives. They began to influence him because they didn't have the same heart devoted to God. They had other gods. And all of a sudden, his standard, his focus, it all begins to drop until he was not fully devoted. He turned. It wasn't good. If you find that there's things in your heart that is drawing your heart away, and they could be good things, you know, it could be relationships or money or work, or there could be good things that are in your life, but it's got to be in the right priority and the right focus. Because if it becomes number one and all of a sudden it's drawing your heart that this is more important than the Lord, then your heart is not fully devoted to Him. And the last time I checked in the Bible, it said He wants us to be hot or to be cold, not lukewarm, not sort of devoted, not half devoted. He wants us to be full on. All right. We might ask the band to come back. Thanks, guys, as we come to our final couple of scriptures. Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I want to ask you a question this morning. What is the number one thing in your life? What's the first thing that jumps into your head? Is it your job? Is it your spouse? Is it... what is it? Once again, all great things. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If the number one thing that jumps into your head is my relationship with Jesus, that's where he wants us to be. You might have the best spouse in the world, and I think I have. But she's not number one. I can be the best husband I can be if Jesus is number one before Melissa. And you can be the best at your job if your job is not number one, but Jesus is number one. See, where your treasure is where your heart is. So if your treasure is something else, I've got some news for you. That's probably where your heart is. And Jesus is coming second or third or fourth. In 1 Samuel 16, and I want to leave you with this thought. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today, Lord, that you're here, your spirit is here, just moving amongst us. Lord, even as we went through this whole service, there was reference after reference from John about the heart, about our hearts, the state of our hearts. And Father God, I don't want to be a person that people look at and they say, well, he's got it together, he's got this or he's got that, he's got character, he's got charisma, he's got... because what is on in the inside is really what's important. It's our heart. And you look at that. For each and every one of us that stand here this morning, you look straight through us into the very core of who we are, into our being, into our hearts. You know our thoughts. You know our intentions. So, Lord, right now, as each and every one of us just stand here in your presence, Lord, I pray that we open up our hearts to you this morning. And, Lord, whatever you need to do within each and every one of us, I pray, Lord, right now by the Spirit of God that you begin to touch people. Lord, if it's a heart of stone, take it out and put in a heart of flesh. Lord, if it's a heart that is got walls around it because of hurt or pain, Lord, break those barriers down and bring in freedom. If it's a heart that's not fully devoted to you because there's other things that just seem more important, Lord, I pray, reprioritize what is our important and where our treasure is. Father God, I pray that we would be a people, as we read your word, as we are led by your Spirit, that day after day, that our heart is fully devoted to you, that our heart is open and soft towards you. And when it's soft towards you, it's soft toward our neighbors. It's soft toward the lost. It's soft toward our families. Because that's the place where you want us to be. So, Lord, as we close our service today, Lord, do a work on our hearts as we offer them up afresh to you this day, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, bless the Lord. We're going to just sing a song, close our service, go out and have some morning tea. If you'd like to respond, if something in you is saying, I need to respond, I need some prayer this morning, please come. For whatever reason, we'd love to pray with you. If you need to give your heart to Jesus, please come. If you need healing, please come. If you need some heart surgery,